For word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have gathered here at this time to worship you and to hear your words. I pray that you would help us to make the most of that time, that you would open our hearts to your truth, that you would speak through my words, so that rather than just hearing the words of Mike, they would hear the words of God, and that truth would change us all and mold us more and more every day into the image of God. Of your Son. And we pray this in His name. Amen. Well, we're in week four. Would you believe it? We are in week four of this once around, where we've noted, you know, that we are on a trip around the sun. We're all going to kind of get back here every single year, whether you're paying attention to it or not. We are making another lap, another once around. And how are things going to be different the following year? We've used this as our sort of anchor verse, Psalm 90, and this verse right at the heart of Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Once we start to number our days and realize that we have a limited amount of time here, it begins to give us this heart of wisdom, and that's the goal. We want to become more and more wise on this trip around the sun. You might even compare what we are doing to a tree. You probably learned this in, way back elementary school science, you know. Every ring around a tree is another year in that tree's life. And you can kind of see, as you look at this, some of these sort of thicker rings right here mean that it was a tree, or it was a year that had a lot of rainfall. You get a thicker ring during rainfall, and coincidentally, then the thin rings right in there would mean drought or not as much rainfall. All these rings are kind of telling a story. You can even look some of the darkened stuff over here. There may have been like a fire. If there's a sort of a blackish mark out, you know, in one of these rings, it could have the tree could have been scarred during that year from fire, from some sort of damage. All this stuff tells the story of a once around, you know, a trip around the sun, because that's what the seasons sort of coincide with. And we are really no different. I mean, you could cut me open and you wouldn't see these kind of rings. Let's just take my word for it. Let's not really try that, right? But the story of our lives are written so that God certainly can see, and if we, you know, remember well enough, we could see just as well. And so the thing that I wanted to point out here was Jesus, when he was a young man, you know the story, I think. They went to Nazareth to Jerusalem, rather, to celebrate the Passover. And what happened is Jesus was left behind, not in the Kirk Cameron kind of way, but, you know, when they went back to Nazareth, they see that Jesus wasn't there. They come back, and he's studying with the rabbis and impressing them all with all of his knowledge. And then they bring him along, and rather than, you know, resist or say, I'm in my Father's house doing my Father's work, he obeys them. And it ends up, that whole story ends up with this line that's really almost a throwaway. You don't pay too much attention to it, but I think it's very striking. So, and Jesus increased after this, as he grows up, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. As Jesus was a young man studying with the rabbis, following Joseph around, doing all the things that young people do, this is what was said of him. He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. And this is a pretty darn good goal. You know, as these things go, we're talking about making lists. And I haven't asked you to actually make your list, write this stuff down yet for what is going to be your goal for this once around. But I would like you to eventually. And just FYI, if you hadn't noticed, January's pretty much over. This is week four, right? A month is gone, and, you know, we got more time. There's still certainly more time, but we're moving really fast. And we don't have forever to do this. And if you're still looking for a goal, this isn't too bad. And you can take Jesus' name out of it, in fact. You can just insert your own name in there. In fact, let's just try this. Everybody say your own name, and let's read this together. Mike increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. Let's try that just one more time. Ready? One, two, three. Mike increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Kind of feels good, doesn't it? But think about if you are in this same place, you know, next year we've done our once around, and if you were able to say in 2019 you increased in all of those things and in stature with God and with man. I mean, wisdom alone, our heart of wisdom. How fabulous would that be? And we live in an age where information is everywhere. We have never had so much access to so much information. We are drowning in it, and yet I think we are starving for wisdom. Because they are not the same thing, and I think our culture has begun to mistake information for wisdom. Now, I would suggest to you that if you actually did grow in wisdom, then you would grow in stature with God. And yeah, with man, you'd think I'd settle for just God. Right? If I grew in stature with God, I'd check out right there, and I'm with you. I get that. But God actually wants more for you than just that. He wants you to grow in stature with Him, but He also wants you to grow in stature with your fellow human beings. You grow in stature and in influence, and as such, you can share what you know about God with them. But how do you want your life to be different next year? Again, this is a really, really good way to grow. A really good goal, I think, to have, but I'm not going to make up your mind for you. The series only goes on a little bit longer. You still have time. You can still decide for yourself. No pressure. But again, not too bad a thing to be able to say at the end of that. I want to share something that I think is a lesson to be able to apply this. It's one that we've heard probably many times before, but maybe you'll look at it just a little bit differently. Jesus shared a parable that you will find, I think, very familiar about the things, the kind of gifts that we're given, called talents. It has a different definition, but I think our definition of talent can be just as applicable here. We find it in Matthew chapter 25, and as I said, you'll probably find it familiar. Jesus says this, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once." And this is something that we just kind of blow right past, you know. Went at once. Did not wait and you know, get done all the other stuff he was going to do and then eventually get around to it. Took advantage of the time while the time was right. He went at once and traded with them, so he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This is a sort of an end times story where you don't know when Jesus is coming back. He is the man who's going to return at some time and demand an account of what he has given you. But the thing about end times stuff that always strikes me is we may not make it that long. Right? We may not make it to the very end, but we will all make it to our end. So we're all marching toward that, and eventually we're all going to have to give an account whether we go back to the man or the man comes to us. And so when he goes to settle those accounts, he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." I just have to read that again. That don't you all long to hear that? "Well done, good and faithful servant." "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, we learned some stuff here. Where at the end of the age, you're not done with work. It's not like, oh, I have these talents, I invested them, I made more, and that's it. Now I just give them all back to you, and that's all there is to it. Apparently, in the afterlife, there will still be more responsibilities, more work. You're rewarded with that, and it's not punishment of any kind. It's a reward to be given responsibility from God. He's earned this. So he's entrusted with even more, and it's joyful to receive that. So also he who had two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. And his master said to him also, same words, by the way, whether you've made five talents, whether you've made two talents, you still get this thing that I just crave and I hope you do too. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the two talents, came forward saying, excuse me, have I just read this twice? I did. Let's go to the next thing, because otherwise we're never going to get off of that, right? The one who had one talent said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. I did. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has will have an in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that worthless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not what you'd call a happy ending. And yet, this is justice according to God, not justice according to our government, who seems to want to take from the guy who has 10 talents and spread them to the guy who has one talent. You're rewarded for having invested and having worked and had success at something, even if we don't really feel like that's the way it ought to have been. It's funny also, the servant who was afraid of his master, who was given only one talent, goes and accuses his master of being a hard man who takes where he didn't sow, reaps where he hadn't planted. And the master doesn't really acknowledge that that's true or false, just acknowledges that the guy said that about him and says, if this was your opinion of me, then you should have invested. I don't know that God is necessarily out to change our minds about the way he thinks of us. Instead, those who love and respect the master kind of respond in that way. There's some truths, I think, that you can gather from this story that we're going to apply to our once around, our trip around the sun. I'd like to start with those right here. Three truths. The first is that God gives you an ability. And maybe you shouldn't get hung up on one, three or five, however many talents you've received. One, two, or five? I guess it was two, not three. But again, we don't get hung up on that. It is a gift from God, and we all have been given something. I mean, how often do we say, I haven't been given as much as so-and-so, and therefore I haven't gotten anything? I listen to sports radio all the time, and every time I hear somebody start to talk about the season is a failure because you did not win, you know, whatever championship, the Lombardi Trophy, the, you know, World Series, NBA championship, and therefore, you lose, sir. You're no good. You know, it's only championships that count. Who gets judged like that? I just want to just call in and go, why are you still talking on your radio show? You're not the best one out there. You should just hang up. Do you want to be judged by that same standard? Whatever you're given, you can do something with it. We don't get hung up on it's not as much as this person has. Every single person has received a gift from God, whether it's one or two or five or you know, 100, whatever it may be. Now, the second thing is that there's no such thing as a self-made man. I love that old American adage, you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. Have you ever actually envisioned what that's like? Like, I fell in a hole and I couldn't get out, so I just grabbed myself and pulled myself out of it. It makes no sense at all. No one pulls themselves up by their own bootstraps. Everybody is given a gift from God, and that's where every single one of these things came from. What you do with it may be your own, but you all start with something. I love this, too. You came out of the womb helpless, but miraculous. And both those things are equally true, and I don't think you ever get very far from either of these. You're an absolute miracle. And yet, you come out absolutely helpless. You may grow in wisdom and stature, but all those things, all the ways that you grow begin with being helpless and being miraculous. The third, I've hinted at it already, they all had enough to do something. And whether it's 1, 2, 5, they all had really not just a little bit to start with. You know, a talent isn't so much a type of coin. What it is a weight of coin. It was approximately 75 pounds of gold, enough to equal 20 years' wages. If you're wondering, I think I wrote it down. No, I didn't. I just got to try and remember. Okay, I think gold is like $1,200 an ounce. And so it came out to be approximately 75 pounds of gold would be 1.5, it'd be a little bit more, $1.5 million. That's what the guy who had the least, that's what the one talent guy got. Do you think you could do something if someone were to just hand you, here's $1.5 million, I'm going away for a while. Is that not enough? No, I should just bury that. I couldn't possibly invest that. I couldn't make anything out of $1.5 million. 75 pounds of gold is what this guy was given, and he didn't consider that worthy enough to invest it. We're all given something, and we can all do something with that. No generation was ever helped out by getting a participation trophy. Everybody has to actually step up and do something with it. The burying of money, the just went along with the rest of the crowd, is never helping anybody. We all have enough to at least attempt at something. I wonder sometimes if he had tried to trade and had to say, Master, I lost money. I think that he would have been rewarded for at least trying, because that's how God is. But for not trying at all, Master, I've come here to get my participation trophy because, you know, I stood here with the rest of these guys. I think God has no patience for that at all. So how can we be like the 5 or even the 2 talent guy? How can we make the best of ourselves this year? How can we capitalize on it the most? Well, the first thing I think we can do is be the best where we are now. Not where we're going to be, where we hope to be, right? So many times we get caught up in at the next promotion, in the next stage of life, then I'm really going to find my own. I'm going to be enthusiastic about it. Rather than cultivate faithfulness where we are now. When we dream about what life is going to be like at that next phase, what we're doing is wasting where we are here and now. If you don't want to do what you're doing now for your whole life, that's fine. In fact, that's good. But to not put everything into where you are right now, it's a waste, and frankly, it's fooling yourself. I think statistics show, you know, people get hired because they do a good job where they are, because it's unlikely that if you're just kind of doing the minimum, just waiting for that promotion, you never do a better job at that next stage of life. It just doesn't happen that way. Instead, you've set a standard, a lower standard for yourself, rather than using good stewardship. So whatever it is that has been put in your hands, you have to maximize it to the best of your ability. I think about this. If you were to say honestly in some kind of interview, no, I don't really like where I am right now. I do hope to be promoted to do something different. If the guy was to look at you and say, so if you don't like what you're doing right now, but you do that good a job at it, how much more would you expect somebody to do a good job at something that they love? Versus, oh, you don't like what you're doing, and so you're just kind of mailing it in. I'm sure you'll turn it around when it's something that you really, really love. And the second thing kind of goes along with this. We need to learn to celebrate the grind. It's hard to wake up sometimes and be super enthusiastic about the same thing that you did yesterday and the same thing that you're probably going to do the next day. And there's some jobs where it's just creative and you get to do new and exciting things all the time. They are few and far between. Most of the jobs that I did were a lot like cutting the grass. No matter how great a job you do, you're going to have to cut it again next week. How would you like to hear message after message? It's like, next week, you know, this one's terrible, I know, I'm not even trying. But you know what, come back next week. I'm going to really put everything into next week. Would you even believe it if I said it for a second time? I think that would probably be about it, right? And if you're going to mail it in, then why shouldn't I? There's a secret to embracing and enjoying, in fact, celebrating the grind of everyday living in the moment. There is great joy to be found in that. And it's found, I think, in doing the very best that you can in the here and the now. Third thing is this, raise others. Be concerned about other people. You know, what you don't want to do is go into your boss and give him your 2 weeks' notice. Hey, boss, I'm here to give my 2 weeks' notice. In 2 weeks, you ain't going to find me around anymore. You're going to look around and go, I think 2 weeks ago he might have left. Right? You've been missing me for a while. And you're going to go looking for my continuity folders. I shredded all those. Right? I have just left you a royal, royal mess. I downloaded a virus on the computers before I left too. This is not the kind of thing you want to leave as an inheritance. I mean, who are you pouring into? Ideally, you should be able to go to a boss when you get hired for something new and say, I've got this new opportunity. I want to thank you for the opportunity that you gave me. And I want you to know, and think about this, being able to look somebody in the eye. I want you to know that I worked as hard as I could while I was here. I cherished and valued the time that I was given. And I gave you all I possibly could. And what's more, I have prepared Joe right here to step into my shoes so the production shouldn't fall off. I've been training that person up and pouring into them as a result of this gift that you've given me, this trust that you've put in me. How different is that, and how much happier would you be? I know people fantasize about just telling their boss exactly what's on their mind as they get to march out that door. But how much better a conscience would you have in being able to walk away, leaving somebody set up for success instead of, you know, the way we usually like to do things. So you'll feel a little bit better about yourself when production falls off when you leave, because it really was all about you. That's a failure on our part when we don't set people up for success. Last thing is this, grow. Grow yourself. Never stop, never stopping, to quote that terrible, terrible movie, pop star. Never stop growing. You can keep at every stage of life, you can continue to grow. There's something called continuing education in the military, whether it's captains go to squadron officer school and majors, I guess I didn't actually get to go to that. There's a lieutenant's professional development program, but I was retired before. It didn't even make any sense, ACSC, that kind of nonsense. For lawyers, They're required to go to something called continuing legal education the whole time, no matter what. Doctors do the same types of things. They're required to continue to grow. But not all those opportunities are quite equal, you know. And I think about this. If you have that kind of thing in your occupation, and they have something that really would be advantageous to you in Nebraska, and they have another convention that you couldn't possibly use in Hawaii, where are you going? You know where you should go, right? Because the one in Hawaii is going to be wasted and full of people who are probably wasted. And yet you can see, you can tell where you could actually better yourself and enrich your understanding of whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you hope to do. These choices are in front of us all the time, whether you're still working or whether you've moved on. One last question for you. Anybody recognize this guy? The gentleman who's closest to us? Lori does. That's a joke. Nobody's going to recognize. This is Bob Williams. He is the father of Lori's oldest friend. Really and truly, no reason anybody would ever recognize him. He's a welder. He's retired now. He's probably about 80 years old. A welder for all of his life. And I would bet a large sum of money that he is currently the most educated welder on the face of this planet. He never stopped going to classes. He'd take college classes all the time throughout his entire life. If he was taking a class and he was starting to get a B in it, he would drop the class and retake it because he wanted to get a mastery level, an A in every single class he took, because he wanted to understand whatever that subject was completely. I can't tell you how much he did. He probably couldn't tell you. He'd have to go back through his records and see all the classes that he took, because he never ever stopped, and still hasn't, improving himself and growing. It's a challenge in front of all of us. But as soon as you stop, well, we don't just stay stable anymore, do we? We start to drift back. That's not what God wants for us, and not just, you know, college classes. We all can grow in wisdom and influence with God and with man. That's what I hope we'll all experience in this ring. I hope we get one of those thick rings this year on our trip around the sun. Not a year of drought, but a year of plenty. A year where we grew in ways that we hadn't even expected. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, you have called us to something greater, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you are not satisfied with us just mailing it in, that you have called us to be faithful servants, and that at the end of that, we all can hope for that well done, that praise from you. Lord, let that be a sweet sound in each of our ears. Help us along the way, because there are so many distractions, Lord, and so many things that want to tear us away from becoming better and devoting ourselves to the grind. But you are there with us, and you have things to teach us even when it doesn't feel like it, God. Help us to learn patience from you. And help us to seek excellence and to grow in favor with you, and to use our influence with others to point to the source that helps us through all that, and that is you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name.